We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We got a chance today to show them who we are in front of the world.
Looking deep, has a man wide open. Touchdown.
Touchdown for Jacksonville.
Touchdown, Jags!
You're listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's JK3.
All right, so we're back after a long hiatus, after the exciting season, disappointing ending, but better than I think any of us expected. But let's catch up a little bit, see what's been going on with everybody. Derek, I know that you've got some news to share.
It's been 4 years long running, man, and just decided, you know what? Might as well hop back on the train. Once again, a season ticket holder after 4 years. It wasn't because of a vendetta or some type of, you know, thing I had with the team. It was more just I couldn't commit to going to all the games because of things I was doing personally, you know, like going back to school, now getting my master's and all that stuff. But and I'm still in school going for the master's, but I'm like, screw it. Screw it. We got a good team. We got a great quarterback.
Screw responsibilities.
Yeah, screw responsibility, man. It's out the window. I've been doing it for too long.
Exactly.
Every career and everything, trajectory is going real good. It's time to get back and get back and do it. So went ahead and got the hookup from Mr. Kellum's associate. And
you know, it must be nice to have. It must be nice to have an associate with the Jaguars.
He called him Mr. Kellum. I'm sorry, I can't.
Hey, man. Yo, when you sounds of the season, when you're on there, you know, just things start falling in the laps. Things start falling in the places. You know, when we go to the games now, we'll go into, you know, the club section, and I'll give a little nod, sign a little graph real quick, and go on up to get my whiskey and coke.
If you ever nod me, I'm gonna take a hot dog full of ketchup.
I wouldn't nod you. And throw it at you. First of all, I wouldn't nod you. I would just chuck you the deuces. I would just give you one, which is worse than the nod. We didn't even get a nod. The nod is inviting. The nod's like, oh, when you see the nod, it's the, and then you come over to the person. You chuck the deuces. Just keep it moving.
Oh man, but no, that's the news for me. Excited. Dang. And it literally took, you know, 15 minutes, guys. So, you know, listeners out there, if you're on the fence, if you're thinking about it, they got a lot of great home games coming up this season. When you do the math, okay, I'm an accountant, so I can promise you that another couple hundred bucks and you could get season tickets as opposed to just buying three or four games for the games you know you want to go to, the Cincinnati, the Kansas City, and the Baltimore and so forth. So point is, just, you know, I just went ahead and did it, and hey, look, man, just excited to, can't wait for the season to start. Got 3 months, still already chopping at the bit, ready to go. So
it's crazy how it comes so fast, and then it, well, pause. It's just there. It comes and then it goes. So it's just like, you know, glad that, you know, we made it through the offseason. But now, man, you know, the draft, all the stuff, OTAs now. So I'm super happy. What's new with me? Not much. You know, did the Sounds of the Season thing on YouTube. So if you...
He's dropped that twice now, by the way.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched it, run the numbers up to see a face. It turns out, you know, I was super excited to tell my mom that I don't have a face for radio. So I'm very, very excited. You know, so if you haven't watched that yet, go ahead and see it. No, I'm just joking.
No, for real. We should link it because, yeah, well, there's probably some people who haven't seen it.
And not to keep going down and beating a dead horse, man, but literally your takes were really good, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really good. Think about it. They took your takes and used it as ad content. Two of them.
So waiting on those residuals. But.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But, like, you have a passion. You definitely are a true fan. I mean, we all are here. But I know for a fact that anybody that gets up at 8 o'clock has their wife help them load up a grill in his truck, pack up his kids, get down to the stadium by 9:30, and is there all day. Okay, it doesn't get any more loyal than that. So yeah,
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. No, it was definitely the coolest thing that I've done. Shout out to the Jags as well for actually, you know, bringing in true fans and you know, people that were at the games. You know, it was super awesome. Big shout out to Cap from the Bold City Brigade, and then you know also you know to the Jags staff. I mean that Sounds of the Season, man. It was something I hope they continue to do. I think they've already done like one or two episodes of The Hunt, which is kind of like their preseason or seasonal, you know, kind of documentary thing that they do. But then I also saw that they are that the Jags got picked up for another like thing with Roku TV or something where they're going to be documented the season two as well through like Roku. So it's kind of similar to like a Hard Knocks, but you know, overall, man, it's just really surreal. And then hopefully I think, man, just hopefully next year we can get more exciting, you know, things like that, more exciting memories that happen in the bank. Again, this last season, if you are not a season ticket member right now, just the stuff that you missed last year, guaranteed seats, not having to scramble, not having to worry about the Ticketmaster app, you know, dying or anything else like that. Not wondering if you're buying the tickets from the guy underneath the overpass or are real. Man, just go ahead and just get your tickets. The games that we've got on the schedule right now are going to be well worth it. I mean, the primetime games, and if you've never been to a primetime NFL game, I don't care where it is. It's awesome. Like going to a Sunday night football game is going to be insane. Going to Monday Night Football is going to be insane. I mean, it's just going to be awesome. And, you know, you definitely want to be a part of it.
Yeah, guys. And if you renew in the next 15 minutes and use coupon code JKellum, you'll get a discount. Sounding like you guys work for the marketing department.
No, but I'm telling you right now, I'm an advocate for season tickets. I'm an advocate for people that live here in Jacksonville. You should be going to the games. Like I've said that for years. Like, the only way that this team continues to remain here in Jacksonville is with us fans who grew up watching the games now that have a little bit of discretionary income to go ahead and start now putting that back into making sure that, you know, we were there. And then now if you have children, you know, you've got to bring them up as Jags fans. You know, that's how the team continues to grow. Still relatively young franchise. So you got to go. I mean, but I get super passionate about that. So, I mean, like literally if – I was watching Blaine Gabbert. Don't get tougher than that.
True. Yeah, it's earned for sure. Well.
What about you, Corey? What's new?
So while Derek got a super warm introduction and just excellent customer service from the Jaguars for his new season tickets, and JK3 was featured in media for the team, both audio and video, I was basically told, renew or not, whatever, we don't care, F off, just click the button, pay your thing.
No refills?
Yeah, no refills. No refills yet. We saw you on camera last season. If you do it again, you'll be banned. So I did renew, but, you know, I will throw it out there that, you know, maybe some of that love that the organization has for you two should, maybe if I can get like 5% of that, that would be cool.
Well, now is very interesting. It's going to make for interesting takes on, you know, Tuesdays or Wednesdays whenever we record in the off or in the season to really get everyone's vantage point on the games. Now, I think, you know, since all three of us will potentially be in the house, you know, watching, I think it'll be, you know, even better for our listeners, even better for people to spot us at the games and stuff like that, since we'll all be, you know, there, you know, cheering the Jags. So, yeah, super excited about that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So I know the OTAs are happening, I guess, as of yesterday, right? Is any of that stuff happening in the new, and just keep, you know, bear with me here because I don't follow this in the offseason as much as you guys do. Is any of that happening in the new facility, or what's the deal with the facility? Is that going to open for training camp? Or
no, I don't think it's happening now in the facility. I'm pretty sure they're in the stadium, but I could be wrong. Yeah, it's not happening.
No, they're
it's
in the
not,
stadium.
Not, yeah, it's in the yeah. stadium. It's not done yet. It's not supposed to be done for another, like, month or two.
Oh, right? Okay.
Yeah, they say, yeah. So, but no, they're just chugging right along, man. You know, you get hyped up when you see videos of, you know, Calvin Ridley working on his footwork. Obviously, you know, Trevor's out there just, you know, keeping the arm loose, going through things. It's just exciting. You see the camaraderie. Yeah, you got a couple guys not there. You know, maybe they're not happy about the contract situation, but you know, that's just when you have a good team and you got guys that can actually compete, you run into cap problems like that, and that's a good problem. I'd rather have that problem than $80 million in cap and three wins to show for it. So, but yeah, they're going on right now, and you know, you get a chance to see the rookies, man. I tell you what, Tank Bigsby, man, he looks like a monster. He really looks like a monster. And you ask yourself, not that we weren't going to go dive into all the rookies and things that have joined the team, but, you know, well, why did we get him in the third round when we got ETN? Man, you can never have enough backs in this league. You can never have enough backs. And, yeah, our backs did pretty good for us. Obviously, ETN did last year. But when you think about just getting down in short yardage, it's definitely good to have a big body, a big, young body that can ram into that line and get those tough yards, make us tough long and short. So think about that now. We've kind of played within the 10 to 15 yard range. Really didn't have too many home runs last year. So now you've got a home run back. You've got a short yardage back. We've got a short yardage receiver. We know this in Christian Kirk. And now we have a deep receiver in Calvin Ridley. You won't see any of these, like, 8 yard in the box safeties creeping up knowing we won't throw the ball past 15 yards. Zay Jones did get behind some last year, but he wasn't a fearful threat. Calvin Ridley is a very fearful threat. So just excited just to see it all come together, and can't wait.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be very exciting, you know, from the offensive side of the ball that you mentioned. But, you know, from a defensive side of the ball as well, you know, some of the things that you've seen so far, and again, it's hard to really kind of judge these guys based off of, you know, some of the tape and based off of running in shorts and T-shirts and things like that right now. But super excited about, you know, Yasir Abdullah, you know, from Louisville. Watched a couple, you know, some of his tape. I think they got him at 136 in the fifth round. He's got that bend that you look for off the ball, and I think that, you know, as much as they can continue to add to that defensive line and continue to crank out, you know, and where we can come in waves, where we can keep adding pressure to the quarterback, I think it's going to be big. Super excited about the defense also, because I think we're going to get a really good litmus test, you know, within the defense, you know, out the gate pretty quickly. I mean, you know, you got to deal with, you know, the Colts, Anthony Richardson. You got to deal with, you know, Patrick Mahomes. You're going to have to deal with Josh Allen. You know, there's some good quarterbacks, some good, you know, teams that we do have to play. And that's the benefit of, you know, getting the first place schedule, is that you get first place talent as well. So I'm very excited about that from the draft also. But then as well, with some of the going back to the offensive side of the ball, seeing that the Jags kind of doubled down with Brenton Strange, I don't know if I would have took a tight end right there at 61, you know, especially a tight end that doesn't really on film. Again, I'm not a Penn State fan, don't watch a lot of Penn State football. So, you know, on film, doesn't really look shifty. Doesn't really look like you know he's going to be able to get out. I think it would be like a younger Manhurts from basically what I saw. He has the ability to get open, but I mean it's not a burner. If it was me, I would rather still have Dan Arnold, back along with Evan Engram. But it seems like right now we've got Evan Engram, right now Brenton Strange. But they did also say that. I guess they have an undrafted tight end. I can't think of his name right now, but they have an undrafted tight end who apparently is just an absolute monster. That looks pretty good and looks like he can get in and out of breaks as well. So I guess more to come on that side of the ball, but super excited about the team. I think the average draft grade that we got was a B. So not bad, not good, but right in the middle of the pack to really see what they can decide to do. But I think, Trent was, or what I like to call bulletproof bulky. I think he was very, very, very clear on them building and staying with the core nucleus that they have right now.
You can keep calling them that, okay? I don't care.
All right.
Until I see it, which is the Super Bowl or an appearance or something, people get on the train and they get off the train. Get on the train and get off the train. I've never been in a station, okay? All right. I have complete faith and confidence in Dougie Fresh, Doug Peterson, but Balky, still don't have it. I don't care. All right. So until I see it, it's got to be wins, W's.
How many?
We'll go with 11 in a deep playoff run, like deep as in conference championship game.
Before you believe?
Before I believe. In Balky.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm not.
All right. I mean, yeah. My name ain't Trent. Last name ain't Balky either. So yeah, okay. You're not offended. You know. You're not offended me when you say that, but
you calling them Teflon.
Bro, you gotta think. You gotta think, man. You've got such high expectations after a year of them coming off of an unexpected 9-win season. And now it's just like AFC championship or bust?
No, it's for him to get my respect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's not AFC championship or bust for the team. No, we play in the AFC, dude. It's dangerous out there. No. No, I'm just saying I need to see some type of progression for me to believe, okay, Trent Baalke can be the GM here long term. It's just, and he's going to be here long term regardless of what I think. But I'm not going to get on the train. I'm not going to get on the bus. Like I said, I'm not even going to be in a station.
JK3, if Balky can do what Derek said we can do, I'll make my last name Balky and call him daddy.
What, legal?
Whoa,
bro. Hold on, man. No, don't do that. Don't do that, man.
Oh, man.
Don't do that.
What about Derek? You had mentioned the stuff. Yeah, and I'm just kidding about that. Although I will do that on the podcast if we have that kind of success. I will literally do that. But Daddy Balky is what he'll be known as.
Oh my god!
Derek, you mentioned the contract stuff because I saw just like a little bit of that on Twitter, but I really didn't keep up with it. So there's guys that are sort of not holding out, but like not showing or whatever.
It's just Evan Engram hasn't signed his franchise tag and. He's probably not going to for a while. If he does do it, it'll probably be right before camp starts in late July, early August. So late July probably. If he does, he might hold out for a while. We really don't have the room, to maneuver to get the type of dollars that he's demanding. I mean, teams will pay a ton for a very good tight end of his caliber. So that's the biggest one. It's just trying to get him, committed to playing one more year under the tag. And it's tough because he's definitely deserving of a new deal. I mean, when you think about some of those games where it's third down last year, that comeback against the Ravens or something and you saw Trevor Lawrence make some plays, but who was he making plays to? Evan Engram had a lot of tough third down catches last year. So, and he made a lot of plays where he caught the ball short and either jumped over someone or made someone miss. You know how hard it is to make someone miss in the league when you're 6'5", 260, however big he is? Like, that's impressive. So he's definitely earned his stripes and earned his contract. It's just one of those things that just has to get worked out.
So is there really any room for them to do anything? Or is this just him using this as an opportunity to kind of like not have to come and work out extra, I guess?
He's doing exactly probably what his agent's telling him to do, which is stay home and let us see if we can move past this if we're having conversations with the Jags front office.
I mean, it is just OTAs, so I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, but it's just part of the game. It's part of the off-season game, the chess match between the team and the player. The player, if he has ultimate belief in his representation, his agent, then the agent's like, look, stay home. Don't go. I don't care if Trevor, you are tight and Trevor wants you to be there. Look, just stay home. And we'll see what happens and we'll see what we can do.
I'm really, you know, and a thought just popped in right now when you were just talking about, you know, about Ingram and, you know, most of the core being there. How do you think that we make the adjustment? Because the offensive line has been playing pretty well over the last couple of years. How do you think we make the adjustment, you know, with Cam Robinson being suspended for, you know, X amount of games, or what, 6 games? So, you know, 6 games, we're not going to have, you know, that continuity at left tackle. And then we have pretty much now, you know, left tackle, you know, a rookie coming in, with Anton Harrison. Like, how do you think the offense is going to, you know, gel with that?
It's going to be different. It's going to be challenging. It's not going to be easy because as we play in a division, not only just our division, but our conference, it's loaded with quarterbacks. We also play in a very good conference where we have a ton of defensive ends. And even our out-of-conference schedule, the Niners, they got baby brother Bosa on their team. Mm-hmm. So I would, you know, I'm glad that game's later in the year and not earlier. So it's going to definitely be a challenge. Let's see. And I'm just thinking of out of conference. Forget in conference. Out of conference. Panthers have Brian Burns. The 49ers have Bosa. The Saints have what's-his-face. I'm drawing a blank here. Cam Jordan.
Yeah.
And the Bucks. And, man, Shaq Barrett had a tragedy in his family. Just sad to hear that. But they have Shaq Barrett. Those are 4 guys that have proven, not potential, not, you know, our guy Trayvon, that he could get double digits. All of them have gotten double digit sacks, and some of them have gotten over 15 in a season on multiple occasions. So those are just 4 right there out of conference that I just named that are headhunters when it comes to pass rushing. So it's not going to get as much as we look towards the season as fans, and man, we got a gauntlet. It's going to be our strength of schedule should be up there in the top 5, probably on paper, when you think about it.
I mean, yeah, I think it is. It's a tough schedule, which, you know, kind of leads me to, you know, thinking that, you know, on paper, when this schedule release came out, like, what, a month ago now? Or not a month, like 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people and a lot of the local media were pinning this team to have, you know, anywhere upwards of 10 to 11 wins. And on paper, that's really easy to say, but when the way you mention it and the way you talk about some of the out-of-conference and the AFC schedule that you have right now, you know, where are those, you know, where those wins, the only ones that I'm really, you know, not even guaranteeing, but feel more confident about are the ones that are just more so in conference. Well, more into the division.
Here's how I look at it. And this isn't me knocking the Jags by any stretch. Obviously, I want them to win and be successful and get to that conference championship game and beat the dog snot out of Kansas City in week 2 for those fans talking all that trash. when we went out there. But when a team like the Jags gets on the come up, then you become targets. It's like you guys sucked for so long and now you're good with old Sunshine as your quarterback. Okay, I'll show you guys. I can't wait till we play. That's going to be from Houston all the way up to Kansas City. We're going to see that. We're going to get teams. We may not get their best because we're not, you know, Kansas City, but it ain't going to be what it was last year. Lamar Jackson isn't just going to fold next year because he's like, okay, they beat us last year. All right. I got OBJ and Zay Flowers too. Yeah, remember that name, Zay Flowers, when we play Baltimore. Remember that name. That kid almost single-handedly beat Clemson one year at Boston College. But yeah, we're going to get teams. If we got their B minus C plus game, we're going to get their B to B plus game this year. If not, their A game.
How about we talk a little bit about the London situation? I know that I think the NFL came out today and said that potentially in the future, maybe they'd look at 3 weeks, but this 2 weeks that we have for this season, thankfully it's one away, one home, and not two home games. I think they called it kind of a test to see sort of how it would work. So I guess what are your guys' thoughts on this season with the two games in London and then just going forward?
Did they really call it a test?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Yeah, let me find that real quick.
Yeah, they called it a test. Why are you looking for it, Corey? I dislike it, honestly. I dislike it. I hate that they're going to be gone. Yeah, I dislike it for two reasons. And my reasons are very selfish, and I'm pretty sure that there are some fans that, you know, that feel this way too. One game is okay. Like, one game, I'm used to it now, whatever. Like, it is what it is. But and I was used to it being a home game. Like, I was used to it being a home game, and I'm okay with that. The away game, that's what I don't like, the two away games, or the home and the away game, because then now I feel like the team is going to be gone for 2 weeks, which they are. And so I feel like we're getting back-to-back away games, quintessentially, it's a home game, which I'd be missing out on, and it's an away game, which I'd be missing out on because of, you know, the majority of the fans now that are actually traveling to games and being able to go see their team on the road. So, of course, the easy fix is just to go to London, but it's like, dude, like, going to London, that's like easily a 5K trip, you know, with someone, you know, and it's just, I hate it. I don't like it that it's back-to-back. I don't like it also that, you know, it's the Jags doing this, because all it does is continue to fuel that flame of the Jags, you know, and the relocation stuff and all those stupid things that people always say about the Jags going to be relocating. And you add on top of that, with the new stadium being built, or the new plans for the stadium, how London is now a possibility for them to go, or an option for them to play half the season there, you know, as well. So I just hate it that it's the Jaguars that have to be this experiment.
Yeah. Derek, this is the tweet that I saw. I don't know if they had like a media day or something, but there's some different folks that talked about it. This guy in particular, Ari Miroff, I don't know. Albert Breer posted it too, but essentially it says NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says the intent of putting the Jaguars in back-to-back London games this season is to see the impact of it and learn from it. Quote, we'll evaluate everything. Would we try three at some point? Possibly.
I mean, I don't like it either. You don't see, I think the guys at 1010 mentioned, you don't see the Premier League or the Spanish Soccer League having their major games over here. You know, they have some exhibitions, but yes, they don't have their major games over here. They don't play regular season matches over here. If they have, and I don't know how it works over there with I think they call it legs and the first leg or second leg of their tournaments, but they do that over there. So why are we trying to appease that crowd so much? Yes, a game or so, I get it. Because, yeah, preseason football is not as good as regular season. So, yeah, you get a game and rotate it every, you know, 5 years or something like that. Not every year and not two and then possibly three, if I read that correctly. I don't want to see that from the Jags. And, you know, Khan's thinking about money. You know, he doctors it up very well because of, you know, the businessman he is, but he's the ultimate capitalist, and that's all he's thinking about is the dollar amount.
I wish they would just try, and again, they probably can't plan it, and this has probably been in the works for X amount of years, and the Jaguars just happen to possibly be, you know, good or getting good during these prime years that it so happens to fall this way. But I wish they would do this experiment with another team, you know, that could possibly, you know, have some attendance issues, that could possibly have, you know, something like that where they could actually try this experiment with. You know, that's why, and again, it's selfish reasons because I'm, you know, a Jags fan. It's selfish reasons because I want to see them play as many opportunities as I can, you know, here in Jacksonville, things like that. But then I'm also, you know, thinking about it from a perspective of, you know, bye weeks and things like that. Like, they're going to be gone for 2 weeks, you know, away from the home. You know, of course, it'd be great to split both of these games, but then they have to come back on, you know, from that 2 week road trip, basically, and then have to play three more games before they get a bye week on November 5th. Like, that's a long, it creates just an absolute long, taxing season, you know, and gets players out of the rhythm, gets players out of comfort zones and things like that as well. So, yeah, no, I think it's just I'm not a fan of it. Not a fan of it at all.
What about the discussion that was taking place? I think it was prompted by it was prompted by Lenny Curry on a radio interview, soon to be ex-mayor Lenny Curry, talking about how the Jags could play at Derek. I know we were laughing at this, like the what is it called, Hodges Stadium or something at UNF, just not ideal. And then I guess other places named were maybe the new soccer field that the Tebow folks are building, Orlando, a couple other places. First of all, what do you think the timetable will look like? Will it be a season, two seasons, and what would your ideal place be to play those games?
As far as the kind of the workarounds of what we could do here locally, yeah, could they build another stadium and work on another stadium right next to it? Sure, they could, but they're not going to do that. Our city leaders aren't the old ones that are leaving and the new ones coming in aren't the brightest, you know, tools in the shed, in my opinion. So as far as just getting together to get things done. Not a political statement I'm making, but just everybody's on different pages, so nobody's going to get anything done, and it's just going to turn into a big cluster. We've proven that, you know, as long as it took Khan and them to even get things going down there. Short, quick answer, you beg the University of Florida, maybe the Daytona International Speedway. The infield's pretty big. They've talked about holding Florida State games there before. If that doesn't work, you got Tallahassee 2 hours down the road. You got Orlando 2 hours down the road. The only thing I don't think about Orlando is maybe that's too close to the Bucks. You know, a little bit of that. And then the stadium down there, Campus World Stadium, I've heard that the field is atrocious down there as far as the playing conditions of that field, what for whatever reason. So that might not be an option, but it could be. They could redo the field and get that done. Who knows? But those are your four options. You work around the Gator schedule. I'm pretty sure I'm not a big NASCAR fan, but I don't think they're racing too much in the fall going into, you know, the holidays down there in Daytona. So there
could, you're not a NASCAR fan?
No, not at all. Sorry. But you know, it's that could be an option, but it seems like Gainesville, you got 80,000 seat stadium. I've heard that the field is in outstanding condition. They do a great job. Just get with the SEC and figure out a schedule and go from there.
My thing about that is like, that will work anywhere else except here. That'll work anywhere else except here. Yeah. Only because, like, they're on Saturdays – this town is divided in so many different ways. You know, it's divided with Georgia. So, you know, Georgia fans aren't going to go to the swamp. Florida State fans aren't going to go to the swamp. And if it were in Tallahassee, Florida fans aren't going to go to Tallahassee to watch them. And it's just so divisive from that perspective that, you know, that's not going to work because of, you know, that affinity. Will there be some fans that'll probably be able to, you know, kind of suck it up and go? Yeah. But I think a majority of your average, you know, fan or your avid college football fan isn't going to do it. I would say the only other option, you know, like you mentioned, is Camping World. I think Camping World, them changing the field and actually working on it and getting the field guys, you know, from here to go there. You know, it would be great if they did do it in Camping World. That way, we, you know, possibly we can see the Dolphins and the, you know, the Bucks play the Jaguars in, you know, something more of a, like, kind of an in-state, you know, kind of three playoff
central three location.
Team, you know, something like that, because the location is a little bit better. But anything but taking them over across the pond for 4 to 5 games, because that's my biggest, and again, that's my biggest fear, is that, you know, they do that and it become more of a dry run on having an actual NFL team in London for the 2 years or for however many years that, you know, it takes for them to build a stadium. You know, that's my only thing. Bro, put them on an aircraft carrier for all that I care.
That would be cool.
Just don't take them over there for, you know, X amount, for 5 games, and then they end up playing 4 games domestically here or something like that. You know, you got to work out some type of plan to where you can keep them close. You can keep them, you know, down 95 or 95 to I-4 as much as that is. But, you know, I think the writing is on the wall. And I think we're a little bit where there is smoke, there is fire here. Because if they potentially play 3 games in London, the team's working on this right now. I think that would be the ultimate test, you know, while the Jags are getting a new stadium, you know, to get it done. I'd be interested, and we could probably discuss this too, like, later on down the line when we get the guys from Rockpile on. But I'd be interested to see what Buffalo is going to do, you know, while they're building their stadium. You know, Buffalo has gotten, you know, the permits and things like that ready to go for their stadium. They've already broke ground on it, from what I've heard, like, or immediately began the construction on it. So there's got to be an opportunity. But I think the thing that I hated is that it's so poorly planned out that, you know, we have prime years of this Jaguars, you know, team that we have right now. And we went through so much suffering over the last 10 to 15 years. And now our prime years are where we actually have a team that has a ton of potential, more potential than we've had, you know, since 17, even though 17 is so long ago. But I think this team has way more potential and way higher of a ceiling than that 17 team did. And it's just, now we've got things like this that fans got to worry about. You know, instead of how they're going to get to the game on Sunday, it's like, where they going to play?
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to piggyback on your statement, JK3, about, you know, we're looking at the games everywhere except here. Okay, let's look at the things that we can do well here in Jacksonville. We can put up another Walmart. We can put up another Publix. Okay, we can build another massive neighborhood off current week, you know, and although not getting into economy talk, but just they do a lot of that. Well, you know, what do we have, like 30 Walmarts, 25 Publixes? Who knows?
Whataburger's making a resurgence.
Yeah, we can do all that just fine. But we can't support and put up one stinking stadium. One. Correct me if I'm wrong, not just from the fact that nothing else is called, you know, it's all called Jacksonville around this radius, but if you include surrounding counties, aren't we like the biggest city land-wise in the country?
There's got to be an opportunity to where you can put something out somewhere and it become mixed use.
Yeah, forget, I get they're building the practice facility there, but if we're going to think big time on taking the whole operation and putting them over, you know, because you know that's what they're thinking about. That's what he's thinking about. Okay, let's be honest. You know that's what he's thinking about. Why not just find a plot of land and build a stinking stadium? We got plenty of it. Okay, we've got plenty of it. Anywhere. And not just, oh, well, I won't go here, I won't go there. There's land all over the place. And we got some stuffy people in certain areas of the town. I won't say who they are and what section, because some listeners might live there, so I'll keep that to myself. But we got a lot of land, and we all have one common thing. We're behind our team, and we don't want to see them go play in Wembley and all that. We want them to stay here. So,
you know, a good one, Derek, is to knock down the Regency Mall and put it over there. Seriously, I'm not even kidding. Right? That's a good way to repurpose that area.
I mean, Corey, I think there's a couple churches in there right now, so you might have offended them. But no,
I mean, like, we'd move them first. Yeah. It's not going to happen during service or anything. No.
Imagine doing like Amazing Grace and a bulldozer just comes through them.
But no, it's so nerve-wracking that we haven't been able to get, like, the things that we've had to get done. You have to pull tooth and nail to try to get this stuff done. And even if you're worried about Florida, Georgia, and all that, guess what? Kirby wants the game out of here anyway.
You can kiss that goodbye. Yeah,
that's Kirby doesn't want the game here anymore anyway. And really? Kirby, two-time national champ coach, he's going to get what he wants eventually. So y'all can, bye-bye. It's going to leave.
Why? Okay. What's the background on that?
He says it's a recruiting. Yeah, it's a recruiting disadvantage for them because they're allowed to host recruits on so many games for home games, and because they have to give their home games away, against Florida, their biggest rival, they also can't have official visitors. There's some funky rule with it, so they can't have recruits come to the game officially on their dime. Recruits can do it unofficially, and I'm sure they're figuring it out and, you know, paying those kids unofficially, but he's right.
And I think it also is to add to the pageantry of having a home and home series, you know, so, you know, one year it's, you know, up in Athens, the next year it's in Gainesville, you know, vice versa. So being able to, you know, kind of have that, you know, kind of competitive edge and, you know, being able to, you know, rotate it that way.
That's what they're looking to do, is just change it to like a traditional.
Well, it's the no offense here, JK3, but it's not the Gator fans, it's the Georgia fans. They want it gone from here. They feel it's also a home disadvantage for them. Because
even though they split the seats 50-50, but
yeah, you
know, it's just one of those things where it is a lot more a lot more like, you know, college football, you know, implications, having home field advantage against your rival, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the game and the play on the field. It's more about the behind the scenes stuff that they don't like.
First they took Warped Tour from us, now they're taking Florida, Georgia.
Warped Tour.
Wow. What's next? You know where they should play Florida? Huh?
I thought you were about to say Rockville or something like that. At least you would have been up to date.
Yeah, that's true.
Rockville's in Daytona.
Yeah. Hey, Daytona.
Where do they host? Where do they host Rockville in Daytona?
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, we have to do some research.
Is that what I was thinking of? Is that what I meant? Rockville? What?
You said Warped Tour, man.
Yeah. What's the difference between those? I don't even know. I just know it's not here, or maybe it is. I don't know. Rockville, I think, is the one I'm thinking of. It went to Daytona, whatever it was. So, yeah. How about they play Florida, Georgia, and London? Why don't we just do it all?
What team was Michigan? Didn't, like, Michigan play a team, or Michigan played in, like, Ireland? I know Notre Dame has played in Ireland before. Wow. And then I think Michigan played somewhere in, like, they played somewhere over in Europe also.
Yeah, there was Georgia Tech or somebody last year played. Florida State's got to go to Ireland in 2 years too.
What? Why?
Yeah.
Gotta go. Why do they have to go?
Selling the rights to these home games, man. It's I guess over in Europe they love American football, which is kind of surprising to me. I mean, we know of personally a fan that is a diehard Jags fan that loves the Jags, but I didn't think it was enough that we start having a lot of regular season games over there. Like I said, if they get Real Madrid or Arsenal or somebody to come over here and play a regular season game against one of their rivals, take their rival and fly them all the way over here just to play the game.
They should take Manchester City versus Manchester United, two teams that literally are separated by a neighborhood. Fly them to Jacksonville to play the game.
Oh man.
Yeah, that's interesting. Sorry to get off topic on the Florida-Georgia thing, but I just feel like, has that ever been an issue? I mean, is that a recent thing? I mean, I don't remember anybody ever saying to move it before.
No, it's picked up some steam in the last, like, 3 or 4 years.
It's really Kirby Smart, Georgia's head coach, that's really kind of leading the charge there. He just looks at it as a, you know, the main, every time I've heard him speak on it or something's written about it, it's about recruiting. And when you're the two-time defending national champ coach, and I don't think they've lost – have they lost a game in 2 years? I think they're undefeated both years. People are going to listen.
Hmm. Man, it just feels like everybody's taking the daggers out and sticking it in our back as far as Jacksonville goes. You know what I mean? This whole stadium thing, Florida, Georgia, London. I don't know. I think it adds to what JK3 was just saying, that it's like – you want to be optimistic and excited about the football season, but it feels like there's all these other negative things going on around it.
Yeah. And I think they also kind of pinned themselves into a hole by adding Daly's place, you know, to the stadium. You can't just you got to build, like, I think with the renovations and things like that they're planning on doing, it's got to be a major overhaul because
that's a good point. I forgot about Daly's place. It is attached.
Yeah. It's attached to it. So, yeah, it's got to be some sort of, like, major overhaul that's going to be done at the stadium that's going to prevent them from being able to play within, you know. So, I don't know, man. It's just that they've really got to figure it out. And I think that, you know, adding to the Daly's placing, adding to that is just –
I never thought about that. That what kind of long-term planning was that? They had to have known they would have to make renovations. Then they built Daly's place attached to it.
Look, this is how jacked up our city is, okay? See, your phones do listen to you, all right? I just pulled up an article from First Coast News. And apparently in Neptune Beach, Corey, you might be able to answer this. There's not one but two Publixes within 250 feet of each other.
Yeah.
The old Luckies.
Yeah, that's true. And they're also converting all those, like that Greenwise that's in Nocatee, they're converting all the Greenwises to Publix. Like, that didn't succeed. So now there's going to be, like,
now more. We have 35 Publixes here.
Yeah. And on Racetrack Road, Derek, on Racetrack Road, you know, Publix at the end, Publix at the middle, Publix on the other end. So.
Yeah, surrounded like by Publix. By helpful customer service
down by Publix in Jacksonville. Hey, I'd be on. Hey, Publix, if you're listening, man, that'd be a great one. We can get our own sub made.
That'd be cool.
Oh my, the DBTB pub sub
egg salad.
Oh hell!
Oh no!
you lost me right there.
Just bro, like those gas station sandwiches. That's a throwback.
Man.
I mean, I get what you're saying though, for sure. Cause it just, I don't know. It really sucks, I guess is the,
I mean, you gotta think about it, bro. The team right now, the team, and you just look at the roster that they have on paper right now. This may be the most exciting team that we've had with the addition to Calvin Ridley. Imagine like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, Derek. Like, Calvin Ridley is actually going to be able to take the top off of defense. We've seen Etienne hit home runs. We've seen what Zay Jones can do, how clutch he's been. We've seen what Evan Ingram can do. Trevor. Then on the defensive side of the ball, you've got, you know, Josh Allen. You've got Trayvon. You've got Aluakon. Like, this has been one of the more exciting. And then we've got Doug. You know, one of the more exciting, like, pieces and one of the most exciting times to have an actual competent football team. And now we have to get over the hurdle of where they're going to play in the next 2 years. It's just like, it's a typical Jags thing for them to have an actual good football team. And now it's like, oh, all right, well, we don't know where we're going to play in 2 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's depressing. Man, this podcast started off pretty optimistic. And then this second half.
We need
half...
to play that Welcome Back song by Mace that we were talking about earlier.
No, you know, not Debbie, you know, not trying to, you know, Debbie down and all that stuff, you know, be downer on the team. It's just things that we're going through right now. And as fans, I feel like, you know, I'm sure a lot of fans out there feel the same way we do. You know, we just want the team to be successful, you know, fight, put up a good quality product on the field, and have a place that we can call, you know, the bank. You know, the namesake here, the pod, down by the bank. Like, exactly. Why do we have to – why is it even a question?
Bro, could you imagine if we had to change our name to, like, Down by Big Ben? If they play over in London for like a couple down by the river, or what river is that runs through London?
I have no idea.
Some river.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Down by Buckingham Palace. Greetings, on this Sunday as your Jacksonville Jaguars take on the Lions of Detroit. That would be terrible.
We're recording on a Tuesday.
See, I'm not even going to get into that. I'm just going to let that go.
Oh, man, that would stink.
made me think about how, like, oh, if you want another one, Derek, of another stab in the back. So TIA Bank is the, you know, the sponsor for the stadium, obviously. They just announced today they're moving, like, all their trust services from here to Charlotte. So it's just another place that's abandoning us. That's up for naming change not too long from now as well, right?
Yeah, it is. So. I think I read that it's been delayed, but they are going to eventually change the name, which obviously would then change the name of the stadium. Hopefully it stays with the bank.
Dick's Wings Field?
No. Oh, God.
No.
Down by the Dick's Wings.
No, could make better wings on my grill here than I can at Dick's Wings. No.
Well, not getting that sponsorship. Yeah, but Publix, we're looking for you. Down by the bank, egg salad sub. Let's go.
What is it with you and the nasty egg salad, bro? Stop that. Dude, okay, before we go, this guy eats egg salad from like cold 7-Eleven and the old, Jiffy store coolers.
Bro. Okay. There's no way.
Yeah, not a chance, bro.
No way.
It's weird how this has been brought up like 50 times on the podcast over like 7 years, that this is a topic for some reason, but it's not. I don't give a 7-Eleven.
Because people have to be reminded of what kind of nasty crap you eat there.
I have upgraded to Wawa, I think, which is the premier gas station, if that's what we're calling it. I don't know.
I can do an entire episode on
Wawa. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Okay, so I think we'll wrap it there, unless you guys had any final thoughts leading into the OTAs remaining week.
Nah, super, super excited to, you know, finish our break and, you know, try to get some more recordings on. I think we'll continue with our same, cadence that we've been doing in the off season. Anything that happens, of course, we'll, you know, regularly try to cover it. Then we'll also try to go with our cadence of some of the local media as well. That's actually boots on ground that can kind of give us some of the things they're seeing in OTAs as well. Next thing you know, then we'll have a mandatory mini camp coming up. They'll break for a little while. Then we've got training camp. Next thing you know, we're going to be talking about and overanalyzing preseason football. So super excited, man, to be back.
All right. Well, awesome. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening. If you haven't already done so, definitely subscribe on whatever platform that you're listening on. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review. If you haven't done that yet, just take a couple seconds after you quit listening to this episode and throw a little 5-star review with some comments. We always like those. But otherwise, we appreciate everybody for listening. Again, we're affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Dick's Wings, I'm sure your wings are fine. Derek doesn't mean it. And Publix, please get in touch. All right, thanks for listening.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. and hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.